This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am absolutely delighted and thrilled to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday discussing issues of importance to your life and faith. We like to hear from you here on Women of Grace Live. That is why we're a live show. So I'm encouraging you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Matt Gubensky on the phones today, and he is eager as a clam. I don't know if clams get eager, but he's eager as a clam to hear from you today, and so am I. So please do indeed give us a call here, and let's have that holy conversation that helps for us to grow in our life of faith and edifies others as we express what God is doing in our lives today. You can also reach us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go on out there and use the chat feature. It's there for you to put your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, or your word of encouragement in there. So I am very, very eager to see what's going on in your world. So as I say, please do give us a call. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my world. I want to remind you about the very beautiful opportunity that we have available for you this Saturday. We are going to be holding an online rosary event. Of course, as you know, tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And so on Saturday, we want to be talking about the rosary. We want to be going into the beautiful prayer that it offers us, but also the opportunity to experience and enter into the mysteries that comprise the rosary, the mysteries of our Lord's life, and to receive there the grace that is available to us in each one of them. We're going to be talking about the rosary with Thomas K. Sullivan. He's going to be presenting a beautiful presentation for us on the rosary, giving us not just the history of the rosary, but really looking at the rosary in light of the reality of its power to transform moments in time. How it is that that rosary, being a spiritual weapon, can release the power of God into every moment of our lives, our individual moments and our corporate moments together. The moments that take place in our own communities, the moments that take place culturally in our country, the moments that take place in our country, but also the moments that take place in the world. The rosary is the means by which so much can be attained. And here I'm not talking about, you know, the string of beads per se, but I'm talking about using those string of beads to enter into those eternal moments that are captured in those mysteries and to be open to receiving that grace and then being a conduit of that grace in our own day and time, no matter where we are and no matter what is going on, no matter the circumstance or the situation. So we're going to be learning all about that. I'm going to be presenting on the way to enter in. Tom's going to be presenting on the totality of the whole picture. And I'm telling you, it's going to be really very informative, but I have a feeling it's going to be transformative. And that is where the key is. So we want you to join us this Saturday. It begins at 10 a.m. Eastern time and ends at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So as you can tell, you know, that's only 4 hours. And it's 4 hours well worth spent as we allow ourselves to open up to the great treasures of grace that God has in mind for us. So please do plan to join us this Saturday for our online rosary event themed the Holy Rosary in our journey towards salvation. It begins at 10 a.m. Eastern time, ends at 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can register right there at our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it listed for you in the events section. Just click on it. It'll take you to a landing page. It says click. It describes the event, gives you the schedule for the event, but you click on the purple button that says click here to register, and you will be able to sign up for it right away. So do want you to join us. Please do join us. We give you a couple of related products there. We give you the Warrior's Rosary Meditations for Spiritual Combat, and we give you the book that contains all of those beautiful meditations as well. The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. We are going to be praying the mysteries from the Warrior's Rosary on meditations on Saturday. So you'll get a chance to taste those a little bit. And I think that you're going to find that they are quite potent, filled with opportunity for you to experience the grace that God desires for you to experience. So I'm inviting you to join us for this great event that's coming up. I'm excited about it. I hope you can hear that in my voice because I really am looking forward to it. And I it's always wonderful when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It truly is. So please do plan to join us for that. All of the events that we have available for you that are coming up are listed for you on our website, womenofgrace.com. And I'm always encouraging you to see where it is we're going and where it is that we're going to be. Now, here you go. Jack and I are going to be presenting a marriage retreat at Malvern Retreat House, November 11th through the 13th. And so, you know, it's great for couples to get away, to spend this time together, to enter more deeply into their sacrament of matrimony. So we're going to be at Malvern Retreat House, November 11th through the 13th. The theme for this marriage retreat is God made them male and female. God made them male and female. And we're going to be talking about those realities. We're going to be talking about the great gift of grace that we receive in the sacrament of matrimony, how to enter into that grace, what we can do to forestall any kind of tactics that the evil one might want to wage against us, and how it is that we can be released more fully to experience the great gift that is ours in our marriage. So that marriage retreat is November the 11th through the 13th, God made them male and female, Malvern Retreat House. Once again, you just need to go to their website or to our website and find out more about it. So I'm encouraging you to join us for this beautiful marriage retreat coming up in just about a month. Can you believe that? It's going to be November in a month. I mean, today is October the 6th. I have a little, a little inside kind of way of looking at these things. And when we hit double digits in a month, it's like the month is over, you know? So when we hit October 10th, it's like, boom, it's going to be November in a heartbeat. We want to make use of every moment, though, using those moments to lead us more deeply into the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ that we might share it with others. That's what we're all about here on Women of Grace Live. That's what we're all about in our apostolate for women. I want to tell you about that, too. I want you to, when you're out there at our website, ladies, I want for you to look at our foundational study and the opportunities that you have to find out more about this great gift that is yours, all of the graces that attend, all of the various charisms and gifts that are yours by way of your femininity. And we want for you to join us for our upcoming events. We want you to join us in a study group. We've got all of the information for you there. If you feel like maybe there's not a study group in your area, we can help you to discover if there is one. In addition to that, if there isn't one, we can help you to form one. Yes, we can. And we're very eager for this to happen. We want for women to know who they are in the eyes of God and to experience the freedom that comes by way of that knowledge, that they might enter into the reality of who they are as women created in the image and likeness of God and bring that to bear upon the culture of our day, which is desperate to know about it and just doesn't know that it is desperate to know about it. But you can be a purveyor of the truth of what it means to truly be a woman. We want you to get out there to that website and take a peek at all of that stuff. In the meantime, you hear that music, we're going to go to our first break. I want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, good morning and back at it with you here on Women of Grace Live today, encouraging you to give us a call here. Matt Gabensky wants to hear from you, but I want to hear from you even more. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's the number to use if you're in North America because it's toll-free for you, 833-288-EWTN. EWTN. Not hard to remember. You got your phones on. I know you do. So you might as well use them and give us a call here. In addition to that, I want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We want for you to use the chat feature there to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And we will be sure to get right on it and take your question or concern and do our best to answer it. We also love to pray with you on the air. So if you have a prayer request to day. Of course, we'll take that. We take them all week long, anytime you give us a buzz. So, you know, I wanted to talk about something today because I think it's a true reality about ourselves, and it's something that we might not always think about. But in sacred scripture, we read that, you know, it is out of the heart. How does it go now? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when we think about that, you know, this is one of the great realities that happens in the midst of our spiritual life. You know, as we allow the Lord to renew our mind, as we allow Him to help us to be conformed more and more to His divine life, as we receive that grace and begin to cooperate with that grace, as virtue begins to replace vice, as we work on those weaknesses and imperfections, as we lay waste to the sins that have become our familiar sins, our hearts are becoming more and more the very heart of God. The very desire of God not only takes place within our heart, but begins to be expressed through our mouth, because our mouth speaks what is in our heart. And, you know, this causes me to ponder for just a moment about the great reality when we say that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And if you go back to sacred scripture and you go back to Genesis 1, you discover the way in which God created the world. He spoke the word. He created the world through the word. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. He said, let it be. And it was. It's interesting to note that Our Lady echoes those words at the moment of the Annunciation. She says, let it be done unto me. And so when Our Lady gives fiat, instantaneously, what happens? The life of Christ, right? She's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ takes root within her, right? So this let it be of Genesis is echoed by Our Lady in her let it be. Well, there's a connection there, and there's a connection with us too. When we speak, we are either speaking life and creating good things, or we are bringing death and we are causing destruction. It's very important that the words that we speak are in union with the divine and holy will of God. And that process only happens through this renewal of the mind and the renewal of our heart. So I was thinking, you know, about this, and I was thinking about all of the words that I have heard throughout the course of my life that either brought me life or brought me death. And here I don't mean physical death, but I mean death in some way, causing a wound to the heart that I needed to work through, or dealing a death blow to some kind of reality of my being, right? You've all experienced that. So I thought today it might be kind of fun to think about the life-giving words that we've heard, right? The life-giving words that we've heard. And maybe to share a life-giving word that we heard that really began to flower within us and began to produce fruit in our life. And I can remember, a life-giving word that I received early after my coming into a deeper union with our Lord by way of the charismatic renewal. And I can remember when someone shared with me that there was this opportunity that was available, and they felt that I had the gift to be able to accept this invitation and to move forward in it. And this invitation was an invitation to do a radio program on our local radio station there that was our Catholic radio station owned by our diocese. And I never really thought of gifts in that way. I never really thought about the fact that perhaps, you know, God had a mission for me in the gift that He had given to me. And that obviously produced fruit in my life. I said yes to that. I gave fiat to that. And here I am all of these many years later. That was back in it was at the end of 1986. I was on radio in February of 1987. All of those years ago, but all of these intervening years, using what someone noted in me for the upbuilding of the church and the upbuilding of my own faith and bringing the word of God to the world. So that was a life-giving word for me. And I'm sure that you've received life-giving words in your own life. And I'd like to know what they were. And this is a time that really helps for you to see yourself a little bit more clearly through the lens of our Lord, through the way in which God sees you. And we want to be people who speak life-giving words to others, right? Because if we are being conformed more and more to Christ Jesus, our heart is filled with him. And so out of our mouth should come those words. We don't want to speak words of destruction, words that tear down rather than build up. We want to speak words that build up. So I'm curious to know, what were some of those words that you've heard in your life where you were built up? It might have come by way of a teacher, could have come by way of a mentor. I know for a lot of you men, it came through a coach who saw some talent in you or gave you some advice and counsel that was very important in your life. Sometimes it comes through advisors and counselors, whether it be spiritual directors or therapists. Sometimes it comes by way of a parent. Hopefully it's come many ways by way of a parent who has spoken life to you at any given point in time, and you've held on to it. Grandparents, right? Grandparents oftentimes being the ones who speak a word to someone and they hold on to it for the rest of their lives. Maybe that's you. Maybe a grandparent spoke a word to you and you've held on to that all of your life, right? We need to be able to hear those life-giving words. That's one of the ways in which we enter into the creative work of God. That creative work of God that always contains the image of him. So let's go to Tisha. She is in DeSoto, Texas. Tisha is a first-time caller. And I am ringing my bell to welcome you, Tisha. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I have a quick question, and I'm trying to hear you.
Okay.
So I said I've had a couple of tough months, and my concern is, when does grieving your situation start to possibly grieve the Holy Spirit? Because I want to avoid that as much as possible.
Well, gee, Tisha, what a beautiful motivation and intention of the heart you've just expressed there. You do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we should all be thinking about that, right? So, you know, what is it that causes the Holy Spirit to grieve? Well, you know, the thing that causes the Holy Spirit to grieve is when we're not accepting the grace that he's offering for us to move in the way of the Lord. And so this can become a lens for us by which we evaluate our words and our actions. Now, you say you've had a tough couple of months here. You've had a tough few weeks here. We all have those tough few weeks. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit if, in fact, we allow the toughness of that time, the contradiction of the moment, the reversal of it, the misery of that, if we allow that to begin to own us and we stop recognizing and realizing that God is in that moment as he is in all of the moments of our lives. And if we resort to our own understanding rather than seeking the will of the Father in the midst of that situation that's causing us the difficulty and the trial. You know, God, everything that happens to us, God permits to happen to us. And sometimes we look at the situations and circumstances in our lives and we forget that. God is always with us. That means he is always in every moment and in every situation. He's going to take those tough situations and those tough moments that he's permitting to work out for us our purification and our sanctification. And he does that by encouraging us in those moments to practice virtue, to be long-suffering, to exercise perseverance. And he's giving us the grace to be able to do that. So to the extent that we do that, the extent to which we lean into the situation, into that cross, and receive from that cross what it is that we need to move forward in the way of God, to that extent do we not bring grief to the Holy Spirit, to that extent, do we bring life? Do we bring hope? Do we bring joy? If you can imagine, we bring joy to the Spirit of the living God and hope to others who are observing our witness. So that's what I would say. Grieving the Holy Spirit happens by way of not accepting what it is that God desires that we accept and move forward in the rough difficulties and the rough trials of life. And the thing of it is, friends, we're always going to have those tough times. We're always going to experience those difficulties and trials. But we can bring, as we were talking about, the words that we say, can bring life or can bring death. So can the thoughts that we allow to enter into our minds and our hearts in those difficult moments. They can bring life to us and to others, or they can bring death. They can chain us to the event or circumstance, or they can become the very means by which that circumstance and situation works to the good for us by bringing forth grace from us. And I think that the evil one oftentimes uses our tongue against us in these moments. We'll find ourselves being very negative. We'll find ourselves complaining. We'll find ourselves even talking negative self-talk out loud about ourselves. Oh, you just can't handle this. You don't have the capacity. And that's true. We don't, but God does. God does, or we will say, you always get it wrong. You never get it right. Or this person always is this. No, what we want to do is to bring life into that situation by speaking truth into the darkness of the moment. I am the daughter of the Most High God. God has created me in his image and likeness of God, in his image and likeness. He's created this person that's really offending me in his image and likeness too. Where can I find God in this person? Where do I see God in the midst of the situation? And in that way, as I say, this is following the will of the Father in tough times, and it brings joy and delight to the heart of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to God. So I hope that helps you, Tisha. Just keep moving forward, honey, and just keep relying on that grace of the present moment to be your aid, to be your consolation, but also to be your strength. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're here for you today. I'm eager to hear from you on this Thursday in the Lord. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. We look forward to hearing your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put your question or comment in there. And Jeff Burson, our social media manager and our producer, he will retrieve it. And we will be sure to respond to it. Ethan is contacting us via YouTube today. He's left a comment for us. He says, my dad, and this is in reference to the life-giving words that we've heard. My dad once told me, do not do anything that will make your mother sad. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Do not do anything that will make your mother sad, said his father to him. And though my parents are now deceased, I strive every day to live by these precious words. What a beautiful thing, Ethan. And again, obviously, a deep impression on you. And how lovely it is that you don't want to make your mother sad. As a child, you didn't. And even still here, you think of those things that would have made her sad and you choose against them. This is a marvelous way in which we can begin to live out that fourth commandment, to honor our father and our mother. And, the thing of it is, I often say about that commandment that there's no expiration date on that commandment. We are called to honor our mother and our father all the days of our life. But we're also called to, notice that, honor our father and our mother all the days of our life. Now, our mother and our father might be deceased, but nonetheless, we are still called to honor them. We are still called to be respecters of them. We are still called to think of their parental authority and the way in which we can cooperate with that, that we might grow unto the virtues that they try to instill in us. And I think, Ethan, your words there speak to that very beautifully, that you still strive every day to live by these precious words that your dad gave you many, many years ago when you were just a lad, even though your parents are now deceased. So, and some might say, well, perhaps the activities of the parents, perhaps the way in which a child was raised and all of that was not the best. Maybe a parent caused and inflicted terrible pain and suffering on us, either physically or emotionally or mentally. But nonetheless, we have one thing to be grateful for. We have one thing for which we can respect them. And that was that they chose to give us life. And if that's the only thing in our recollection that we can give thanks to God for our parent, it is the greatest of things. So, you know, this is honoring God. This is honoring the beautiful way in which he's determined that we should accept and acknowledge the fact that though our parents might not have always done everything right, and maybe in our estimation did nothing right, the fact of the matter is they did one thing right. And the one thing they did right was to say yes to him and give life to us. So if that's the only thing, hold on to it and thank God for that. And I want to tell you, you know, there is no perfect parent. There just isn't any perfect parent. We are all weak, fallible creatures. And sometimes in our parenting, we've made grave mistakes. Most certainly, we can look back and say, yeah, my parent could have handled this better, or I wish that this hadn't happened, or this has caused me pain and suffering all of my life. And that's true. But what God desires that we do is to forgive ourselves for the moments when we did not measure up to the quality of parenthood that we should have. And we should forgive our parents for all of the times in which they didn't measure up. There is a flood of light and a flood of truth and a flood of joy that enters into our being when we are able to arrive at that happy moment. I remember one time a friend told me that she asks God to stand in the gap between the love that her children needed at any given moment in time and the love that she was able to give them. That's a very good prayer. And in those moments when we look back retrospectively and we see that the love of our parent wasn't there for us, we know that God's love was in the midst of it all. We're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN. What affirming word have you received in your life? Coming right back on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. It's great to be with you today. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, encouraging you to pick up the phone and give us a call here. Matt Gabinski is waiting for you, and so am I. Matt is our call screener, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here today. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're looking forward to hearing from you today. If you're a first-time caller, do want to know that, and we're going to ring our welcome bell for you today. If you're a first-time submitter to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, we certainly will do the same thing. Just let us know, and we'll ring that bell for you. You can get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and leave your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement right there in the chat feature. So please do that, and we will get it retrieved. Jess Burson is our producer and social media manager. He'll dash on out there and get it and put it up on the board for us, and we'll be able to move forward. We're talking about words today, and I love words, but you know, we've got to be careful about the words we speak, because as I was mentioning to you earlier on, those words can either bring life to a person, or those words can bring death to a person. Those words can build up, or those words can tear down. And I mentioned to you in the first part of the program there that, you know, this is one of the ways in which we image God. Remember what we read in Genesis 1. When God created the world, he spoke it into being. Let it be, and it was. Let it be light. Let there be light, and there was light, right? Let us separate the waters from the dry land, and the waters from the dry land were separated. God spoke, and it was done. Well, we participate in this creative action of God by the words that we speak. We don't speak things into being in the physical sense, but we do speak words that bring into being either of affirmation of an individual, building them up, or tearing them down. So we do speak realities. We do impact on our neighbor, on our loved ones, the by the words that we speak. And sometimes people will carry those wounds of the heart for many, many years. God is always there to heal them. We've got to surrender them to Him and enter into that healing process. But the one thing is, we want to speak words that are life-giving. I wanted to share with you something from Sacred Scripture, and then we're going to go to Dave out there who is getting in touch with us via YouTube. You can use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page too, but you can also use our phone lines, 833-288-EWTN. I'm looking for affirming words that you've heard today. Here it says this, and this is taken from Proverbs. It says, "In the multitude of words, there shall not want sin. He that hath no guard on his speech shall meet with evils." That hath no guard on his speech shall meet with evils, right? Remember what I said earlier, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Here's another word that Jesus gives us. We shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, right? So obviously the words that we speak are very important because, as I say, they can build up or tear down. They can bring life or they can bring death. What words have you heard, or a word that you've heard in your life that brought you life? And here I'm thinking about a word that you could have received from a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a coach, a word that you could have received from a teacher, a word that you might have received from a boss or a colleague, a passing word that someone might have said to you in the midst of conversation that they were totally unaware of the tremendously positive impact that that word was having on you. I want to know about it. Dave says this, "The one piece of advice that has stuck with me came from my sister when I feared what an ex-girlfriend may do after ending the relationship. The advice was to rise above it. Rise above the pettiness of a situation. Don't lower yourself to one's level of gossip." Those are really good words, Dave. You have a very wise sister. And let me just speak to that for a moment. You know, when we talk about rising above the situation and not letting our mouth make the situation worse, I'll bet you any money, if there would be a way that I could, you know, pass a legal pad around to all of you out there and have you jot down at least one time when you spoke a word or someone spoke a word to you that muddied the situation and made it even worse, I'll bet you that we would fill not one legal pad, but multitudinous numbers of legal pads, right? And this is why we're encouraged in Sacred Scripture to put a guard about our mouth, a sentinel at our lips, that we might not speak an idle word or an angry word or a word of rebuke that is only going to make the situation worse. I'm sure you've experienced that, right? It's in those moments that the words that we speak are bringing about destruction. They're actually many times a sin, the sin of detraction, tearing down somebody. Now, and it might even be a truth that you're sharing. Maybe this really did happen, but it's detraction. It's not attractive for the person who in some way did something that was painful or acted in an unkind way. It's not attractive, but when we speak that word again, we then are making an even worse unattractive situation happen because we now are bringing a type of condemnation upon that individual, and that's a sin. Another sin is the sin of calumny, a sin where we actually do set out to bring about an unhappy picture, experience of that individual. Calumny is the sin that destroys reputations. And we're actually happy to pass on the misery of that person's situation, the very deleterious actions that they committed with the intention of destroying them in the eyes of another. And then there's slander. Slander is outright lying about somebody so that we can have a certain type of power over them, so that we can appear to be greater than they, so that we can exert our own self-will. All of those things are sins. And as Jesus says, we're going to be held accountable for what it is that we say. Today, we're looking for those affirming words. We've got a listener comment call, and we're going to go to that right now.
Jeanette, I need help with how to deal. Well, first of all, I'm from California, and my name is Laura. My mom likes going over to my cousin's house, and this cousin, she has events, and she excludes me from them because she doesn't like my husband. And her answer was, well, I'm not inviting you to my house, but I'm also not uninviting you because both would be offensive to you since I don't speak to your husband, she says. And her reason for not liking my husband is because he, in our marriage of 7 years, he started talking to some girl he used to talk to before me and him were together. And so me and him have healed that, and he was speaking to her, and I caught him, and it was very ugly. I told my mom about it, and I guess my mom and everybody else told my cousin about it. And I looking back, I wouldn't have said everything, but at the moment, I was so desperate. I was very hurt, and I didn't know who to speak to. I spoke to priest and everything. So now my cousin has events, and I don't want to go to her home, my cousin's home, but my mom goes and my sisters go, and I'm very hurt that they still keep going to this, my cousin's events, even though my cousin excludes me from them, or in her words, you know, doesn't even invite me to not offend me. And this cousin can't even speak about this matter because she actually left her husband and to be with another man because she worked with this new man. And so my cousin now, she left her husband with 2 kids, and now she's with a new man. And I need to know how to deal.
Well, Laura, you know, this is a very complicated situation. And the good news in this situation is that you and your husband were able to reconcile. And that is a beautiful thing. Oftentimes what happens is when situations like yours occur, people dump out of the marriage. And remember what it says in our marriage vows, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until death us do part, right? So these can be the worst moments in marriage when there has been an occasion when the marriage vow has been violated. And it sounds as though that might have been your situation. But how much more grace there is when even that kind of terrible pain and suffering can be reconciled. And God, in the midst of it all, brings about oftentimes a greater union than preceded that violation of the marriage vow. And I want everybody to hear me correctly. I am not suggesting that adultery is not a grave sin. And that adultery can take form in an actual living out of an adulterous action, but it can also take place in the theater of the emotions and the theater of the imagination. The theater of the mind is a great thing. And remember what Jesus says in sacred scripture, that even if you lust after a woman, another woman, right, that it is an act of adultery because there is an infidelity to the one whom you've married. But I have seen marriages where this kind of situation has been healed. And from my observation, these marriages have become strengthened because God is a God of his word. St. Paul tells us that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And he can even take that kind of affront, that kind of a sin, that kind of a violation, and he can work good with it if we cooperate with good. Now, both parties need to be working on that reconciliation, and there can be no more trespassing against that vow of marriage. But when it's a one-time situation like this, it's not a consistent way of being, there can be tremendous grace and even a strengthening of relationship that takes place. So praise be to God that you and your husband have been able to work this out. Now, the difficulty that we have once we begin to share about these things indiscriminately with individuals who can come back to us later on with it is that we open ourselves up to the kind of a situation that you are experiencing right now, where though we have forgiven the individual, other people who have seen us hurt by the actions of the other do not forgive them. And we don't have control over their will. We don't have control over whether they forgive or not. The only thing that I think that you could say to your cousin, and maybe what you need to do is to sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with her, is to say that you have forgiven him and you would ask that she would strive to forgive him as well. It's interesting that she has committed basically the same sin that your husband committed, that she was unfaithful to her spouse, to the point where she's left him, I'm assuming divorced him, and is now living with someone else. And maybe the very fact that the two of you were able to reconcile, you know, stands maybe is like heaping burning coals upon her head, and she can't suffer that because she didn't take that same step. I don't know. That's a supposition. It's all pure speculation. I don't know what motivates her outside of the words that she spoke to you, which seems to me to be a very convenient way of trying to justify her position and not inviting you to these events. What to do about your mother and your sister who still attend these events? You know, you cannot control their actions, their reactions, or the motivations of their heart. What you can do, however, is to forgive them each and every time they do this, because apparently they don't know how deeply they're hurting you. I would pray for them. I would pray for them that they would come to see the great affront that this is causing you. By the same token, however, it becomes very difficult in matters like this when we expect other people to break off relationships with other people because those other people have hurt us. You know, it becomes a very difficult thing. So I think, what's the high road here? What's the road of grace in the midst of this? The road of grace, I would say, is to praise and thank God that your marriage has been reconciled, to continue to work on the solidification of the delicate fibers of your marriage that have been torn because of your husband's infidelity. I would continue to ask God to give you the desire and the grace to forgive your cousin. And I would do the same for your mother and your sister. And I would try to exercise the virtues that are opposite the vices that want to take root in you in that situation. And what would those vices be? It would be resentment. It would be bitterness. It would be anger. It would be hostility. It would be a seething kind of slow burn that begins to erode within us the life of God. So I would practice virtues opposite that. I rather than getting angry, I even if you feel the emotion of anger, feeling it is not a sin. Acting out of it is a sin. Saying unkind words is a sin. Holding a grudge against them is a sin. What I would do is practice greater acts of love towards them, beginning with prayer for them, but then ultimately moving from prayer into prayerful action, showing them that you are not holding this against them. And let's see what happens with that. Let's see what happens with that. Another grace that you can begin to exercise here is this grace of civility, being civil to the cousin who's offending you. Might be very, very difficult to begin by, doing acts of mercy towards her, but or acts of kindness towards her, but being civil with her, being civil, and not letting the tone of your voice speak something other than civility and other than filial love, right? Filial love. So, you know, that would be my advice to you, Laura. You know, and I just want to share this little story with you. I remember one time, you know, many, many years ago when I was married to my late husband, I had been offended, deeply offended by actions and by words that had been spoken against me. And you know, it was very difficult. And he had given me permission years ago to share these realities of our marriage. When I came back to the faith, he was not, at first he was very pleased about it, thought it was really cute. That was his word. This is so cute. You know, if this makes you happy, good. But then when he began to see that my life was changing as a result of it, then it was not so cute anymore. And so oftentimes there would be confrontation, and oftentimes there would be unkind words spoken, and they cut to the quick and they cut to the heart. And I can remember one time, I would often just seek solace in the bathroom. I remember this one time I was standing in front of the sinks in the bathroom, and I said to the Lord, you know, I don't understand this. Why do I have to put up with this? Why do I have to be so deeply hurt? Why do I have to just stand here, you know, in the midst of this mockery and ridicule? Why, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Jeanette, you are the believer. You are the only one who can bring grace into this situation. And so the responsibility is yours. Those were big words. Talk about life-giving words. Those were big words. And so what did I have to do then? It was my responsibility to try to make peace, because I was the one who believed that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It was my responsibility to speak a kind word instead of a word of wrath and anger, because I was the believer. It was my responsibility to do acts of kindness, even though oftentimes the kindness was rejected, because I was the believer. And I can tell you something, through those painful years, and it was years, through those painful years, the greatest thing that could happen happened. My husband came back to the faith, because as he told me later on, he knew that it was impossible for a human person to love him, given his behavior at the time, and that it had to be Jesus in me loving him. And that became compelling for him. Laura, that can be your story in the midst of the situation that you just described. Let's go to Olga. Olga is in Raleigh, North Carolina today. She's listening to us via the EWTN app. How are you, Olga?
I'm doing well, Jeanette. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't know if we have time. I wanted to share my words, but I also found out something about the rosary that is somewhat related that you might appreciate as well.
Okay.
So the rosary situation is that I was reading about Ted Bundy, the murderer, had killed two girls, and he went in to kill a third girl,
yes.
But she was holding the rosary. I don't know if you know that story.
I do, but please share it with our listeners.
Well, that is the story, and you can look more on it. There's an actual book that shares about that. I don't have it in front of me because I'm not prepared, but I'll be happy to send it to you. But I just thought that was so appropriate for, you know, all of the promotion that we're doing for the rosary this month. And it is something that the grandmother had asked the girl to always say her rosary. And she made that promise to her grandmother, and that is why she fell asleep saying the rosary. The grandmother said, it doesn't matter, just say your rosary, and as you always also say, just fall asleep holding your beads.
That's right.
So, yeah. And then the other thing is that my grandfather shared with me, we came from a communist country and lost absolutely everything, but he said to me as I was little, it doesn't matter. They can't take away your faith. And he always lived that to me, and I feel like I'm standing right next to him every time I think of him saying that, and I'm ever so thankful for that gift of his, is no one can take away your faith.
Boy, Olga, am I happy you called us today to share both of these words with us. First, on the rosary, yes, I remember reading that Ten Buddy, a notorious serial killer, was killing girls there at University of Florida. I remember it well because I was in Florida at that time. Gainesville was just 2 hours away from us. And he went into this house to kill this other girl. And she had the rosary, and it was reported that he felt some force pushing against him, and it frightened him, and he ran out of the house. So, you know, come to our rosary event, you know, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time. The rosary is powerful. And the words of your grandfather, we need to cling to those words. No one can take your faith from you. It is the most important thing that you have. Olga, you've blessed us today. We thank all of you for being with us. It's been a beautiful time in the Lord. Encouraging you again to get out to our website and sign up for that Rosary Online Retreat.